This is Mornings.
And we'll get to your text messages about All Matters books, because that was going to be a theme of the program. It still is for the second half of the program. We are heading to Clunes Booktown, not in a literal sense, in a figurative sense, fairly shortly. But there was a lot of important stuff in the news that we felt that we needed to get to first, including this. It has not been an especially easy time for our power suppliers across regional Victoria over the last few months. The grid has come under pressure from storms, I think fires in some parts of the state, other natural and unnatural hazards. I wonder if this may be some kind of solution. It's being described as a microgrid, potentially islands of power when the power goes out. Jordan Oliver is from PowerCore, and Jordan has joined me in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Gav.
I'm trying to explain what this microgrid is. Perhaps you can do a better job for me.
Yeah, sure. It's a funny name, but essentially, I'll take a step back. Over the last 3 years, we've been developing our business plan for the next 5 years, so from 2026 to 31. As part of that, resilience is a key theme. And this is not just about the storms the other month. This is about probably what we're noticing is an increasing trend of extreme weather conditions. So this is things like, as you mentioned, storms. Storms are such a big one, with wind and lightning, and it blows vegetation across lines and that sort of thing. So we've been looking at a whole bunch of ways we might be able to keep the lights on for people in some of those more remote and rural communities longer.
Which communities? Because I believe that you've got three or four that you're considering looking at.
Yeah, sure. So I must say these are just ideas at this stage. And the idea of a microgrid is that there is local generation on site in the community. The network's configured in a way where if the main backbone power line goes down for whatever reason, the backup generation, in this case it would be a battery with some local generation and maybe a backup generator as well, that would essentially keep that community on. So the ones we've floated, these are just proposals, just ideas, but the ones we've floated are Balland, Trentham and Lancefield. You might remember, Gav, a couple of years ago, Trentham was off power for about 6 days in one of those really big storms back in June, I think it was, 2021. So certainly many of your listeners will have been impacted by storms in the recent past, but also over the last few years. It is something we're noticing more and more.
Okay, so a lot of our listeners, more than half our listeners, are listening in the eastern part of the state, Gippsland in particular, and in the northeast. And so that's not necessarily areas that are covered by you. But if we just talk about this more broadly, could we even have a potential situation where some of those small communities have power and the rest of the us don't?
That is a potential. So the idea of a microgrid is that if, for example, there's a widespread power outage in an area, that localised or an islanded part of the network may be able to stay on supply for a period of time. Now, these are just ideas. There's other ideas we've got, such as target of undergrounding of power lines in certain areas, perhaps areas with low reliability or perhaps high fire danger areas. We're talking even about fireproof wrapping or somehow making power poles themselves less vulnerable to a bushfire coming through. So that would be useful. It would have been, our listeners might have remembered the Beaufort fire only a couple of weeks ago, lost a few power poles there. Perhaps these sort of measures might have helped in those situations. So other things are, we're talking about increasing the heights of power lines in flood-prone areas. So all of these sort of ideas are just things we're tossing around, and we really want to have a chat to people about these ideas. We've actually got an online forum next week. Love people to sign up and come along and have their say.
I'm going to have to ask this question because I suspect it is the $64,000 question, or $64 million, or whatever the number is, depending on the situation. How much is it going to cost and who's going to pay for it?
Yeah, so the way networks fund anything, and this goes for everything from our lineys through to just absolutely anything we do, we operate on five-year business plans. The next period begins in 2026. We are talking to people about that plan right now, and we're drafting what might be included in that plan. The first draft goes in August, and the federal regulator, needs to approve every single thing. So what we need is people's support and people's ideas, so we can show the regulator that we've listened to people, this is what they want, and then you know, hopefully it can get approved when we pop our final plan in next year. In terms of dollars, I couldn't say. It's probably at an early stage, but at this stage we're really looking for people's commentary and ideas, and we'd be happy to pass those ideas on.
The three areas, and you mentioned them before, I think you mentioned Balan, I think you mentioned Lancefield, and I think you mentioned Trentham were the three that you mentioned. I think that people will have a better idea of how well this will work once we have some of these programs, actually, even if they're trials, up and running. So when does that happen?
Yeah, so look, it'd need to be approved, funded and built. So this is something, these are ideas at this stage. This is something that would happen after 2026 if they made it into our final plans. I understand, and we're actually doing a whole lot now to you know, keep the network, you know, as reliable as possible. It is a fact, though, that you know, customers living on the end of long rural power lines, sometimes stretching hundreds of kilometres through pretty thick vegetated areas, they're just more susceptible to extreme winds and you know, and essentially the elements. And that's just a fact. And we work pretty hard on keeping everything pretty clear. We use helicopters to scan the entire network every year, more than 70,000 kilometres of power lines, using lasers to know where the vegetation is between the power lines and any branches, so we can keep it clear. We also patrol lines. We have crews all over our network area that respond really quickly to get the power back on.
Well, don't take this the wrong way, Jordan, but hopefully you won't need to talk to me quite as much in the future once this is up and running. Thanks for popping in.
Thanks, Gaff.
Jordan Oliver there from PowerCore.